Our scripture this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 1 through 12. So I'm going to invite you to stand for the reading of the Gospel as you're able. May the word of God fall afresh on your ears this day. Do not judge so that you may not be judged. For with the judgment you make, you will be judged. And the measure you give will be the measure you get. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, let me take the speck out of your eye, while the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them underfoot and turn and maul you. Ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if the child asks for a fish, will give a snake? If then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? And everything do to others as you would have them do to you. For this is the law and the prophets, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. So we continue our journey through the Sermon on the Mount. How many of you are ready for this to be over? How many of you, Jesus is stepping all over your toes? Yeah, thanks, Jesus. When I first went into ministry and started preaching, that my mentoring pastor told me, he said, just preach from the gospel, Stephanie, because nobody can argue with what Jesus said, right? Even though we want to, right? No one can argue with what Jesus said. It's pretty cut and dried. So as we go through the Sermon on the Mount, we keep in mind that Jesus is really pushing us as a shepherd shepherds the sheep into the kingdom of God. All right, and there's a lot of work in that shepherding image of trying to get all these sheep and make sure that we don't stray off. And we're everywhere, right? We're scattered everywhere, and this great shepherd's trying to get us all into the kingdom. So that we understand we live in two dual realities, right? Some of us, many of us sheep, want to live in the material world where everything is fact. The culture is telling us one thing, and it's okay to behave. All right. When in Rome, do as the Romans do. When in America, do as the Americans do. Which our culture, I remember being in high school, I think they tell every class the same thing. You guys are the best students that we have ever had, the best class we've ever had. We expect such great things from you guys. You guys are going out into the world and you're going to change the world. You're going to make lots of money. You're going to be great leaders. You're going to make great lives for yourself. Right? And what that means when you're a high school student is, I'm going to go out and make a way for myself. I'm going to provide. I'm going to have a nice home. I'm going to have nice cars. I'm going to have this great job. I'm going to pull myself up by the bootstraps. I'm going to get that college degree. Because that's what we're told to do, right? We get into businesses and we find that it can be a cutthroat world. We can find that our hearts can be broken. And we're told that's just the way it is. And it's okay for you to act like that. It's almost a twist on the golden rule, right? Act out as you see others act out. Be as others are, right? Whereas Jesus turns this on its head and he says, do unto others as you want to be treated. Treat other people as you want to be treated. Be meek and humble. Walk with integrity. Look at your own self. If there are problems in your work, in your home, if someone is really bugging you, getting on your last nerve, you better deal with yourself first. What's going on with you? Before you can deal with anybody else's stuff, right? This whole image of the speck and the log, right? You can't do anything for anybody else until you've taken care of your own house, all right? And how we look at what it means to live in the kingdom of God, living in the kingdom of God as already as if it is here, right? You have to discern, you have to decide which kingdom you're going to live in. Are you going to live under the cultural rule? Are you going to live under Christ's rule? Because they look different. They are two different ways of living. So Jesus tells you, be mindful of what you put in your body, what your eyes see. Be mindful of that. Be mindful of how you feed your soul. What is raging more strongly in you? Is it the desires of the flesh? Are you caving into that? Or is it the desire of the soul to be nearer to God and more Christ-like? And the more we become more Christ-like, the more we line up to living under the reign of God in the kingdom of God. So as we think about this and what it means to live under God's rule, we've looked at Jesus turning the law on its head, right? Well, we sang, pour out your floodgates. Here it is. I wondered when we sang that. What we needed was more rain. Okay, so when we think about what Jesus does with the Ten Commandments, what he does with the law, he goes deeper with it. And what we find is it's intriguing what's going on within the heart, right? It's not just about doing right and avoiding wrong. That's not the point of the law. It goes down deeper into our intention. All right, so we go into this scripture, if we're going to talk about intention and heart matter, about judging people. Don't judge. How many of you judge a book by its cover every single day? Every single day we do it. It's ingrained in us, right? Long, long time ago, I don't remember why this story came up, but it resonated in me. So, in the news, there's a story about a guy who robs a pharmacy and takes particular drugs out of that pharmacy. It wasn't for cash, it was for the meds. Now, your first instinct is what? That guy must be a drug addict to break into a pharmacy. And he, apparently, there's a certain kind of drug that he wants, and he's just desperate, right? And our assumption is that guy's caught, he's going to stand before a judge, and he's going to be convicted. And you feel pretty hard-lined about that, right? It's pretty cut and dry. The guy broke the law, right? And then there's the rest of the story. You find out that his wife is dying of cancer. They're broke. the insurance isn't covering everything. They can't afford the meds. And all he wants is his wife to not be in pain, to not see her suffer, so that she has the meds that she can have. What does that do to your heart? Right? We don't ever know someone's entire story. So Jesus tells us, don't judge, because we cannot see the intention of someone else's heart. We can only see the intention of our own. And a lot of times we ignore the intention of our own heart, and so we go and judge other people's actions, and we don't treat them as we would like to be treated. Because how many of us like to be judged by our own actions and our own mistakes? How many of us love that when people assume things about us? We love it when that happens and we have to explain ourselves. And they're like, oh, that's why you acted like an idiot. I wondered. Love it when people do that. And they assume the worst. Right? They assume the worst of us. And we don't like it when that happens to us. But yet we are very quick to assume the worst of other people. So if we are not going to judge, I want to share a couple of other scriptures before we get into that about judging. This comes from Romans chapter 2. Paul writes, therefore you have no excuse, whoever you are, when you judge others. For in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself. Because you, the judge, are doing the very same things. You say, we know that God's judgment on those who do such things is in accordance with truth. Do you imagine, whoever you are, that when you judge those who do such things and yet do them yourself, you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches, his kindness and forbearance and patience? Do you not realize that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? But by your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath, when God's righteous judgment will be revealed, for he will repay according to each one's deeds. We pray the Lord's Prayer, right? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others. We are so integrated and dependent upon God's forgiveness for us. We are dependent upon God's forgiveness for us. We are dependent on God's graciousness and patience with us. And what do? We turn around and do what with it? We store it up for a rainy day? It's so much easier to pass judgment a lot of times than it is to extend that grace, to extend forgiveness to someone else. We forget how much we have received. When we have a splinter on our eye and a log in our eye, it's interesting that Jesus could have used any image to represent our own faults, our own sins. But it's interesting, it's a defect in the eye. It's an injury in the eye that can be healed. But last week we learned what? The eyes are the window to the soul. Yeah. That this judgment is connected to a soul problem. That when we pass judgment on another human being and we are stingy with our grace, it is sickness within our own soul. There is something stuck that we have to deal with within ourselves. That the love of God cannot flow through us. We also have to realize that we can't fix other people. How many of us love to give advice? All right. A couple of weeks ago, I was at chaplaincy school, and it was interesting, the reactions. And I have to say, the reactions within my own heart and soul as I sat through this class, because I've been a pastor for a very, very long time. And there is a distinct difference between a pastor and a chaplain. My job as a pastor is to gather my sheep, tend to your souls, and to usher you on to a deeper understanding of God's love for you and that you're drawing near to God. A chaplain's work is outside of the church walls. A chaplain's job is to go into crisis situation. The people that a chaplain encounters may or may not be Christian. They may or may not be a person of faith of any religion. They may be a different kind of religion. They will be people in their absolute worst moment. So the first word that we were told as chaplains is, do not cast any judgment whatsoever. You're stepping into their situation. You're seeing them on their worst absolute day. Do not pass judgment on them, and keep your face to where it shows no shock and awe whatsoever. That when you walk in, you show God's love and grace in every word and action you give. You do not give advice unless asked. And you enter into their world. Do not drag them into yours. Basically, you're walking in as their guest to help them. And a guy in the back, very young, said, well, aren't we Christian? Shouldn't we be proclaiming the gospel? And she says, they are in crisis. You bring Jesus, but it is not your moment to proclaim the gospel. Evangelism comes second. To give them comfort comes first. Your job is to comfort them and set them at ease. That's your job. He had the hardest time wrapping his brain around that. She told us that we are to bring Christ through our actions and our deeds, which I completely agree with, and that Jesus' name may never be mentioned, possibly, unless they ask. And he's like, what? What do you mean? It was just a very interesting dynamic. And what I'm trying to push you is this, that I truly believe that when Jesus talks about the priesthood of believers, I think what he's saying is you guys are going out in the community to be chaplains. This is every Christian's job, to go into the world where there are moments of crisis, when people are having the worst day of their life, and you give them a moment of compassion and love and grace with no judgment whatsoever. And you may or may not speak the word of Jesus, but the gospel was proclaimed loud and clear. because Jesus is proclaiming within your very soul, peace, be still. And when a person is in crisis, that is exactly what they need to hear. But maybe not in those exact words. Maybe not in words at all. What most people are seeking in their life is for someone to accept them as they are. And that's exactly who God is for us. Yeah, God wants the very best for us. God wants us to be healed and whole. But you don't have to be healed and whole and perfect before you come to God. Because it is God's work within you through a very long journey that will, and a lot of hard work, that will bring you to that process. Paul writes this, "My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and is brought back to another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." What, Pastor? You just told me that we are not to judge. Here Paul makes a distinction. Notice he says brothers and sisters. He's talking about the body of Christ. It is the only distinct place that we are to pass a discerning judgment between believers. When we are out in the world, we are not supposed to judge non-believers. That's interesting, because who do we usually judge? Those who are struggling, right? Who are weak in their faith, who are dependent and coping on other things. Yeah. It's interesting when we see Jesus' interactions with those he passes judgment on, who is it? Who is Jesus the hardest on? Is it the adulteress? Is it the lepers? Is it the blind man? It's the Pharisees. It is the leadership of the church of the day. And he calls them, "You brood of vipers. You brood of vipers, how dare you make it so hard for anyone to enter into the gate?" Because they pass judgment on everyone. And he says, "Woe to you. Woe to you, you Pharisees, who look so great on the outside like whitewashed tombs. You glisten in the sun. But at the core of you, at the heart of you, you are rotten. You carry death." The kingdom of God is always at the heart of the matter. Always at the heart of the matter. If we choose to live in the kingdom of God, we have to deal with what's going on in our own soul and the health of our own soul and what is going on in it. There is so much that I could share with you on this topic because it is deep-seated in every single one of us. Just think about when you're in your car and you pass up a homeless person, what is the rhetoric that is going in your mind? That is a reflection of what's going on in your soul. What Jesus is pushing us is to see every single human being as a child of God. That there is a level playing field out there. Now, does this mean that we go out and we save the world like a big gigantic army? And we just lay ourselves out there? I think we have to look at some other stories in the Bible, like the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan had boundaries. The Good Samaritan didn't bring the battered guy home. He didn't bring him home to the family. He didn't spend all his money on the guy. He took him to a shelter, gave a little money to make sure he was taken care of, and he left. He got the person to safety. What's interesting is who leaves the battered person on the side of the road before the Good Samaritan gets there. It's all leaders in the community, religious leaders in the community. It's a priest. Come on, folks. Scribe. These people who are supposed to show the reflection of God's heart in the world. So here's your homework this week. Is to look at your own soul and what is going on there. I'm not asking you to pour out yourself like a libation on every person in need and in crisis, because that would be impossible and overwhelming. But for this week, your homework is to really look at your own soul and what the rhetoric that's going in your mind. When you see people that are different than you, when you see people of a different faith than you, when you see a homeless person, a person that you think doesn't fit, what goes on through your mind and why do you think that? Where did that come from? And how can I see, to pray at that moment, Lord God, show me what you see. Give me your eyes to see. If you want me to be the hands and feet of Christ, show me what you see so that I can truly be your representative, your advocate in this world. For that is what it means to live in the kingdom of God, to bring in the kingdom of God wherever we go. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. As the praise band gets back up on stage.